Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? It is Monday. It is the day after the AFC and the NFC Championship. Because we got some football breakdown that we have to do. Call the number 917-889-7828. This is the KFO industry. Welcome all. We are brought to you as usual and always by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located on Alma School in Chandler Heights, 4991. Get in there along those pillars and you will get 10% off of any you may have. You can also become a club member, get a locker that backs up the humidor, keeps it completely fresh. Stick around, smoke your cigars, watch television, enjoy yourself. As always, a sporting event on this Maduro's Fine Cigar Tobacco in Chandler, Arizona, Alma School in Chandler Heights. Let them know that PLR sent you and you will get 10% off of any cigar purchase. Call number, like I said, is 917-889-7828. We have some breaking down to do of these games yesterday. Tom Brady did it again. I'm done. I've picked against him twice. I will never do it again as long as he takes the football field. Nick Foles looked like Carson Wentz. It was crazy yesterday. We do have a caller already ready for us. You're in the cave with PLR. Who do I have online with me?
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou once again.
Lou, what's up, buddy? I did it again, man. I did the unthinkable. I picked against Brady twice, and twice he found a way.
Yeah, it always happens. No matter what happens, no matter or how injured he gets, they always find a way to beat everybody.
No matter what. Look, you know what though? I have a question for you, my friend. And again, thanks for calling in. And I know that Tom Brady was Tom Brady. I know Belichick was Belichick. I know the Patriots are the Patriots. But did it look like the Jacksonville Jaguars were playing against two quarterbacks, Tom Brady and their own quarterback? Because with 55 seconds left in the first half, there's no way with two timeouts that you sit on the ball. You go for that. You can't beat New England without points. So, I mean, did you notice that, too, that they were so happy to get off the field? You have two timeouts in 55 seconds. Go down and get a field goal.
Yeah. But were they thinking? Were they thinking?
You know what? I honestly think that Doug Marrone was coaching against Tom Brady and coaching against his own quarterback, trying so hard to make sure that he didn't make any type of mistake whatsoever. Because you know if the shoe was on the other foot and New England had the ball with 55 seconds and two touchdowns, they're going to try to move the ball downfield.
Of course.
Just absolutely. Absolutely crazy.
It was a lot closer than I anticipated, though. I mean, only 24-20 because I was expecting that to be a blowout and the Minnesota Eagles game to be a lot closer.
You want to hear something crazy? I didn't anticipate New England being a blowout just because their defense is so good. Like I said, I picked them to win. What I thought they would do, though, would be to change up, and you have to let Bortles throw, and I know that that's scary to say, but you got to let him throw the ball, and that's basically how they took the lead on those short screens and slants and, you know, your basic high school offense. But in the second half, they got away from it. It's almost like they were trying their best to make sure he wouldn't screw up.
Yeah, but, you know, well, let's just put it this way. I'll put it this way. Because, you know, I was thinking, well, with the Patriots, you know, up against, you know, with Jacksonville, with Bortles up against Brady, I didn't see much of a contest. I mean,
yeah, I just You know what's sad, though, is when you have a team that has a defense good enough to win a title, I know there's a bunch of people saying,
yeah,
oh, well, if that defense was so good, why did they let an 18-yard run at the end of the game happen? But that defense was good the entire game. You held Tom Brady to 24 points. That's enough. You know what I mean? That was enough.
Yes.
And a couple of those points they got based on what Jacksonville did offensively, not necessarily what New England did, because New England flipped the field, and you keep putting New England in decent field position over and over again. Tom Brady, I don't care who your defense is, he's going to score. It's just going to happen.
Unfortunately.
You
well,
know
of
I mean?
Course, it didn't come out all good for the Patriots because the Gronk got hurt. A concussion.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Like I said, keep putting him in good field position. He's going – Tom Brady could throw to me and you. And he'll
yeah.
make us look good. You know, so
well, maybe you.
It's
I
just
don't know
a matter. No, well, you know what? I don't have any speed anymore. And I don't even know why I said the word anymore, because it was never there to begin with. But anymore makes it sound a lot better.
I think I'd be better off as a place kicker.
Well, I don't know. You know what? Like I said, this is one of those days where I'm not going to take any praise away from Tom Brady, because he's Tom Brady
yeah.
and he does. He's been doing this over and over again. But it's amazing how everyone fears what he could do to the point that it stagnates your offense. And I think instead of everyone looking back, and you would think Tom Coughlin would do this, so it tells you just how bad of a quarterback, truly how bad of a quarterback Blake Bortles is, because when he had Eli Manning, they threw the ball downfield enough to beat New England. That's how they won their Super Bowls with this team.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles is bad. There was a play, and I don't remember if it was the first or second quarter, and they ended up punting. But on third down, he threw a pass to one of his receivers. And the pass is thrown in front, and this is what makes Brady so good. If the ball is in front of the receiver catches it in stride, takes those four or five extra steps, and has a first down, and a drive keeps going. And that's what Brady does. Bortles threw it behind him. So the receiver had to, and it wasn't like way behind him where he had to make a spectacular catch, but it was behind him enough where he had to turn his body to catch the ball enough to let the defender who was trailing him tackle him a yard short of a first down. And Lou, and I think that's where people get it mixed up. When you say Bortles is a terrible quarterback, they'll say, well, he completed 12 passes in a row. Yeah, but that was a pass completed, but it's a bad pass. Because you don't give your receiver an opportunity to do anything with the catch.
Yeah, exactly. But still, I mean, you know, they just finally, even when we think that, you know, they have him down by 10 points and, like, they still get him. Ugh.
He, that's what he does. That's what he does. I mean,
yeah,
you don't go to 8 AFC championship games in a row. You don't win 5 Super Bowls. You don't do that unless you.
Yeah, that's sick.
You know, and I was real reluctant. Well, I'll tell you, I was very reluctant because I was a Joe Montana is the greatest ever.
That's true.
You know what? I'm off that wagon now. I really am. Tom Brady is the best quarterback I've ever seen play.
Makes me sick.
I think it's hands down.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, but who are you?
Over
yeah,
in
the
NFC
then...
though, did that game? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but as
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Who do you think else is going to be the one that's going to overtake him?
It's going to take a lot. You know, it really is. Because with Joe Montana, it took a lot. I mean, even when Brady had the four rings, I was like, yeah, but Joe never lost one. You know what I mean? I still had that hold out for Joe. Then when he got the 5, I'm like, yeah, but you know, Joe is still undefeated. But you go back again to your 8th Super Bowl, it's hard to argue against, or excuse me, your 7th Super Bowl. It's hard to argue against someone that's going for their 6th title.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he wins this, we're literally talking about a quarterback that has seen the NFL change over 18 years and has adapted with everything. I mean, he went from having Troy Vincent as a wide receiver to Randy Moss, to Edelman, to Amendola, to Gronk. I mean, to he's gone from top running backs like Dillon to running backs these little running backs like Lewis. I mean, but everything that changes, there is one constant, and it's always Tom Brady. At some point, I mean, we all got to just say, well, dang, it's just he's just one.
I know.
But
anyway, your thought on the NFC, I mean, because that really I thought it was going to be a much closer game. I didn't expect the Eagles to blow them out like that.
Who did? You're 100%
Nobody.
Correct. Who saw that coming? The Eagles didn't see that coming. I mean, especially with the start of the game, you thought for sure that the Vikings, you know, not if they'd win, but, you know, great start. What happened? How are they going to lose this game? And pick six changed the whole momentum of the game.
Yeah, that was humiliating.
And Nick Foles, he didn't manage that game. He played.
Nobody expected Foles to do that well.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you saw a backup quarterback come in, play the way Nick Foles has played? We all remember the year where he had 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Play the way he's played, lead the team to a Super Bowl, win or lose a Super Bowl, doesn't matter. But at the end of the year, he goes back to the bench.
I can't say I think I've ever seen that.
Never. Never. It tells me that if Nick Foles wins this game, Nick Foles is going to be a sought-after guy.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Now, get
it
this.
Does.
Going over to baseball for a minute, the Brewers are claiming they are signing an offer for Darvish.
What do you think of that?
Well, he's got so many people coming after him. I mean, it's going to be hard to tell. I mean, even the Yankees want him. Of course, the Yankees, we have a lot already. But you know, the Yankees want him. The Cubs want him. Houston wants him.
You know what? I think Milwaukee would be better for you, Darvish, out of the teams that you named. Because he has a great record, but does he seem like a big city pitcher to you?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I don't think he fits the small team role, the small area role.
You know, like in Texas, and granted, Dallas is a big city, but in Texas, baseball isn't baseball like it is in New York or Boston or Chicago or L.A. And your expectation is different. When you're in that market and you get paid a lot of money, you could have two broken legs, a broken pitching arm with broken fingers on that pitching hand, and if you don't go out there and find a way to win, you're a bum and we wasted our money. Whereas in a city like Milwaukee, they're a little bit more appreciative of what you do. So kind of, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of different.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think that's good for him. Ending up in those big cities, he's not a big game guy. I mean, he's proven it. Some pitchers are. Some pitchers shine when the lights are the brightest. Some pitchers don't. He just does it.
I was thinking about that. I was going to see how much the offer, though, was going to be worth at this time.
Yeah. Yeah, and then but the flip side is, if you're a guy that goes to Milwaukee and they pay you decent money and they don't win, how long is it before they trade you off to someone else anyway?
Mid-season.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah. Well, we thought you were going to be good and you're going to get the job done, but you're a turd.
We're
going to send you back. Back, we're going to ship you to the minors. You're going to double A. Get out of here.
Yeah, and we thought we would be better, but we're not. So,
we
don't want to pay you.
Yeah, we count on you to give us maybe a 16-win season. You're only giving us about 5. Oh, man, you stink. What are we seeing you? Go back where you came
exactly.
from.
Exactly.
Go to Double A, you bum.
Or even worse, which is baseball totally, is you go 16-6, and I said you, I didn't mean it like that, but if you
right.
go 16-6, but Milwaukee misses the play, or, you know, they're 40-60 and out of the playoffs around trade time, and they go, well, yeah, we don't want to put the rest of this out, no matter how good he is, the rest of the team stinks, so we don't want to keep paying him, so let's trade him.
I think that's a
you
sign
know,
that
so,
you got to go.
Yeah.
Speaking of trading, the NBA trade deadline is coming up on February 8th, and the Hornets want to trade their big guy.
Can you believe? Well, you know what? Though? I can believe that.
So
can I can believe that because Kemba, I love Kemba. I really do. I love the way he was at UConn, but Kemba Walker can't be your best, and you go far.
Right.
He can't. He can go somewhere and compliment someone. You know, I would love to see him maybe in New Orleans. If they could manage to keep the rest of the
very
team intact,
team.
Yeah, somewhere like that, hell, he wouldn't be bad in a Knicks backcourt, where him
now
and Porzingis could team up offensively. You know that would be in my opinion, a good fit for him. But you can't have him in can't have him there as your best player, especially with the rest of those terrible contracts Charlotte has. So
yeah.
I could so see him there and sitting there and working out well there.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks fans would love him. I mean, they should remember seeing him in the Garden, winning that Big East title for Connecticut and the tournament run and all that. So, and he's a New York kid too. So,
yeah.
Problem is, I don't think the Knicks have the right assets to trade to get him without bringing a third team involved, a third team in and getting involved. So,
yeah.
But we shall see. Trade deadline's coming up. We're going to talk more about basketball and that stuff as it gets closer and see what Cleveland does to find their way out of this mess that they've gotten themselves in with their old-ass team. So we'll find out what's up with them.
All right.
So, well, my friend, we're back tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope you'll be around.
Same bad time, same. All right, buddy. You have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, all right. Thanks.
Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good talking to him. He gives us a call just about every day. Number to call in if you have any thoughts or anything, 917-889-7828. Good guest. Let's make sure you're following us on Twitter for the rest of the week. I'll have that up there at the Sports Cave. Cave's always with the K. Guys, I know I'm harping on this. I know with a couple guests that I'm going to have this week, I'm going to talk about it even more. Blake Bortles is God awful. He's just bad. And I don't want to hear how he played the last couple weeks because he still ran a rudimentary offense. He still ran an offense meant for high schoolers. He throws screens and he throws out passes that running backs turn up and make his numbers look good. He throws 3-yard passes. Of course, he's going to complete those. But he can't even put the ball on the money to a receiver that's running in stride to get first downs. That is bad. That is bad football. That defense deserves to go to a Super Bowl, but not with that quarterback because that quarterback is awful. He is a bad, terrible quarterback. Now, I heard Chris Sims on a Dan Le Batard show that put him as the 70th best quarterback in the NFL. I think that's too high. You can do things and win and still be bad. Trent Dilfer was a bad pro quarterback. And yeah, I know he won the Super Bowl. That defense and that running game was great. And Trent could still at least make some pro throws. Brad Johnson was not a great quarterback, but he could make some throws. Blake makes some throws. He has the arm to make the throws, but he doesn't put the ball where the ball needs to be. And by that, I mean He's Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow can throw to an open receiver and sometimes can throw someone open with a rabbit foot in his pocket and after he ate his Lucky Charms. That's Blake Bortles. What makes Tom Brady special? He can throw you open. What makes Big Ben special? He can throw you open. What makes Drew Brees special? He can throw you open. When you look at the receiver and the DB running, and you're like, that's a bad pass. Oh, my God, what a catch. Because he can throw you open. Blake Bortles throws you closed. He threw to a receiver that could literally take three steps, have a first, and keep the drive going, and he threw it where the man could get tackled. He would have been almost better off just throwing an incomplete pass. He does not give his receivers an opportunity to move forward. And that's what Aaron Rodgers and those guys do. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Big Ben and Russell Wilson. They give their receivers an opportunity to do something with the ball after they've caught the ball. That's why when people throw around this word elite, it almost gets on my nerves, because just because you have a good completion rate, just because you threw for some yards, doesn't mean you're elite. It means you're a stat hog. The Patriots were down 14-3, and if you were a Jaguars fan, you were praying that they could find a way to hold on. If New England was up 14-3 and you were a Jaguars fan, you'd be thinking, crap, this game is over. That tells you the difference of a mentality. I once heard someone say that, and I love Chris Webber. And so this is not a knock on Chris Webber, because Chris Webber is the man. He really, truly was the man. But I heard a player say one time, and I don't remember what player, so I'm quoting someone. I'm not throwing shade. A player said one time when Sacramento was playing the Lakers, and I don't remember which playoff round it was. I remember, though, Kobe hit a shot, and Chris Webber had an opportunity to hit a shot as well. But Chris missed his at towards the end of the game, and the Kings lost. And what they said was, last 80, your thought is that shot's going in. This is the moment. These are the moments that he lives for. That shot is going in. When Chris rose up for that shot, the thought was, ooh, it's a good shot. I hope it go in. Do you see the difference? Kobe missed a ton of game-winning shots, game-tying shots, missed a bunch of them. But every time he rose up to shoot a shot with the game on the line, it put the fear of God in every opponent, because they always thought it was going in. When Michael Jordan rises up at the end of a game to shoot a game-winning shot, it puts the fear of God in everyone, because you know that that shot's going to go in, even though they all didn't. LeBron James, who probably has made percentage-wise more shots at the end of the game and is going to go down in history as one of the greatest basketball players to ever step on the court. But for whatever reason, and like I said, I bet his percentages are higher on made shots in the clutch at the end of a game. But I bet you, ask all those people, they still would rather have Kobe or Michael take that shot. The same thing. If you're driving down the field and you need a touchdown, you're hoping your guy does it. You know Tom Brady's going to do it. You know he is. You know Tom Brady's going to come back. You know, you just know it. Down 20-10, going into the fourth quarter, there's not one person that said, if you give Tom Brady two possessions, you're going to get two touchdowns. So here we are again, and I know I talked a whole lot about the AFC, and tomorrow we'll get into more of the NFC and what Philadelphia did and all that stuff, and I apologize, but I'm still marveling at Tom. And I said, I sent a tweet out, I think New England gets breaks. I do. I think they get the benefit of the doubt on every 50-50 call. I really, truly believe it goes their way. But just because the call goes their way that doesn't necessarily mean the rest of the game has to go their way. You still have an opportunity to stop them. It's like when Boston Red Sox fans got on Bill Buckner for the ball going between his legs. That was game six. You sat at game seven. Cubs fans, Moises Alou, Bartman touched the ball. Oh, he ruined our season. That was game six. You still had a game seven. So all that comes into play, folks. So I'll get more on the AFC side tomorrow. I apologize, but yeah, I dedicated almost all the show to Tom Brady. Now I'll dedicate a lot of show tomorrow to Tom Brady and probably Wednesday and Thursday. And as we get closer and closer to the Super Bowl, I do want to get into the NBA All-Star game tomorrow and talk about the captains and the picks and who they are. I want to talk about Houston more tomorrow, thinking that they can beat Golden State four times in 2 weeks. Okay. But I guess you got to have confidence. If you don't say it, you don't think it, it doesn't happen. The Russian mob kidnapped LaVar Ball. I've not heard hide nor hair from him. Someone check on him, make sure he is okay. As Lou brought up, Kemba Walker's on the market to be traded. Hopefully he lands in a good spot. If New Orleans works this right, to me, they'll be a hard out in the playoffs. Oklahoma City seems to have found their way. They found a way to get it together. And they're going to have to make a trade to bolster their bench. And have you been watching Steven Adams play? Good Lord, he's playing good basketball. So I'm teasing the rest of the week. These are a lot of things we are going to get into. So make sure that you are joining us as this week goes on. Really looking forward to it. But 2 weeks left before the final football game. And then we speculate for the next 9 months, 8 months, somewhere in there. And we talk about the draft, and then we grade the draft, even though no one has played yet. And then we talk about trades, and then we grade the trades. And then we talk about teams, and then we grade the teams. And we do a lot of grading, and then football starts. And then we forget about all the stupid grades that we gave everyone. Kind of funny how that works out, huh? But what you gonna do, right? What you gonna do? Thank you big time to Bear Jackson for having us out this week doing those shows. He's out there, the game shows out there, PLR. The world's greatest. Kendall is out there, she made her show debut. Probably not here on the mic anytime.
I am a mountain. I am a tall tree. Oh,
make sure you follow us on sports.
Sweeping the country.
Media, social media.
I am a river down in the valley. Oh, I am a vision. And I can see clearly. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall. I'm in the
you get me directly at PLR on sports.
I'm that star up in the sky.
And back to Bear Jackson. Big shout out to Stacey Pearson, who again this year helped us out. Looking forward to
and I'm that little bit of hope. When
my
back's against
the wall, thank you for joining us.
I can feel it.
This is the NBA show. This is PLR. This is Talk to Mark.